Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Roy, how's Bonnie Jean doing tonight?
Oh, she's doing pretty good.
You know, that could be taken two ways. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, bless his heart. Now, Bonnie had, they thought it was pneumonia at first, and they went and did a CT scan and saw some little tiny blood clots in both lungs. And so they're giving her medicine to dissolve those and trying to get her to a three, right? We don't know what that means, but three is good.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. So once we get her to a three, they're gonna kick her out, and you can start cooking for her. Yeah, and then see the cancer doctor after that. So just hope and pray that everything's, you know, gets back to normal, and just pray for them both. God's been good to us all. Can I hear you say amen? Huh? What is normal? Yeah, for the Hemp Hill household, what is normal? Let's see, we'll pray for Bonnie. I've got a note on my desk. Can't remember who it's from. Somebody wants us to pray for them. God knows who it is, and God knows what it's about. Amen? Roy? Sure he does. Yep. You know, that's a good, I didn't think about that, okay? But that's a good way of looking at that, okay? He is prepared for everything that will happen. And he'll prepare us for everything that will happen. Yeah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Pray for Sterling. Yeah, there's a missing. Yeah. Pray for Sterling. He got out of the hospital. He's dizzy this afternoon. And so he's at home in bed. That's not like him. So just lift him up tonight. Yes, Alicia. Death in her family. She's had enough death. Clayton wanted us to pray for him. Is the anniversary of his mom and dad passing's coming up. So just pray for him. Brady. Okay, pray for them. Bradley. Pray for his mom and dad. Jared. Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Gary and Kay's leaving us tomorrow.
Are you coming back?
They're coming back.
Leave.
Yes, Brian.
Pray for my wife and I for studying work.
Yeah. Yeah, just, hey, pray for them. It's tough. It's tough finding a job right now. Okay? Just pray for those two. They're trying to just get going on their own and just lift them up. That's frustrating. It is. It's very frustrating. And so you just pray for them. Yes, Jimmy.
Linda's family, I mean, they seen what it was really like for the church group, good church group,
yeah,
together Saturday.
Yeah.
I don't know if it did any good or not.
You always hope. You know, you always hope. So just pray for her family needs to be saved. Yes. Sure thing. That's important. Okay? That's important. So... God already has it figured out. Okay? He's already got it figured out. So you just say, God, I belong to you. And God will put you where he wants you. I promise you that. Mr. Mom and Dad, say amen. Okay? We're all moms and dad to these kids, and so we show them that. We just say, God, I'm yours. You put me where you want me to, and that's what he does. Let's go pray tonight, all right? God wants to hear from you. Do you believe that? And even us taking these requests, number one, God already knows every one of them. Number two, he already has all things figured out, but he's given us the benefit of prayer. We can cry out to our God and say, God, I need help. God, I need something. God, I don't even know what to ask for. God, I just need your blessing, need your help tonight. Heavenly Father, I love you, and I thank you, dear God, for meeting with us tonight. I thank you for your presence in this place tonight. We need help. We need guidance. We need encouragement. Father, Lord, we just need to know, God, that you're hearing us and that you're listening to us. So, Father, we just call these things out to you tonight. Lord, people are sick and people just need help. They need blessing. Some people need salvation. We just ask, Heavenly Father, God, that you would just burden our heart as we pray, Lord, and help us, dear God. We don't always know what to pray for, but God, we just hand things over to you and say, God, would you take care of this for us? So, Father, Lord, we lay our supplications before you. We ask you, God, Lord, that you would hear us, hear what's in our heart. And Father, Lord, that you would, just touch the people that are in this church tonight. And Lord, that you would just give them your grace and your blessing, your mercy. Lord, help them in the areas of life, dear God, that they may struggle in. Areas of life, dear God, that seemingly, Lord, they have no control over. I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would just do that for these people tonight. Lord, I love them. You love them more than I do. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that you be kind to them tonight. Hear what's on their heart. Lord, Father, for the people that we're praying for, God, would you bless. Lord, for those that would be watching, God, you know, Lord, who that is. You're the one that's brought them to this place tonight. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, God, that you would hear them, Lord, as they pray. They seek you out, God. Pour out their heart to you, Lord. Confess sins, God, Lord, that maybe they haven't confessed yet. Turn back to you, God. Lord, would you just do that with people? Father, bless your word tonight. Help me to teach it. And Lord, give me wisdom. Give me grace and mercy, dear God, as I open up this sacred book. Father, that you just have your way in our hearts. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And I'm going to mind the Lord tonight. And I need somebody, Ryan. Need your help. Okay? Up in this room, way up here. Okay? I have another Bible up there that's got some notes in it that I need. Bring that big black King James Bible. Okay? Appreciate that. I got 3 pages of stuff to teach tonight from a certain one verse in Hebrews chapter 10, but I'm gonna mind the Lord. I think God's laying this on my heart before we even get to that, so I'm gonna just kind of follow the Lord. You can't just go wrong. You just can't go wrong when you're just preaching the scriptures. Can I hear you say amen? And you just preach the Bible, and God just will bless and honor his word. Hebrews chapter 10, this happens to be one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. There, God really blessed me years ago in my zeal to study and to know this book. And there was something that I heard a preacher say one time that it just really stuck out to me. And I'd never heard that before, and I just examined the scripture here. I like how it was presented, and I'm going to give you this part tonight, then we're going to back up. You look in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5. The Bible says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. And I'm going to probably spend quite a bit of time dealing with just a few verses here in this area. It may take a while, but that's what I like to do. I like to just If you throw a bone back on the plate and I still see meat on it, it's mine. Amen? And I just want to give us some good meat from the Word of God tonight. But I heard a guy say this one time and never really thought about it before. But here it is. The Bible is actually recording the very words that Jesus spoke before he left heaven to come to the earth. I'd never heard it put that way, but look at what it says. Verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, before Jesus, and I don't know how your theology gets mixed up, but my theology is that Jesus was alive even before he was born in Bethlehem. The Jesus that I believe in is eternal. He always has been, is now, always will be. That's the Jesus I believe in. In fact, I'm gonna just kind of show you this from the King James Bible tonight. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Malachi, if you would. The book of Malachi. That's in them prophets that you get lost in. You never can find one book from the other. It's Micah. There it is. Found it. Micah chapter 5. That's it. Thank you very much for doing that for me. All right. Micah chapter 5. Look at this. The Bible says in verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah. And I could just throw this in. When Herod, Ryan, I appreciate that. When Herod was looking for Jesus, when he was looking to find out where he was born, he knew, he had enough sense to know. This is what I never figure out. Herod knew that the Bible was foretelling Christ's birth and where he was going to be born, but he still wanted to try to kill him anyway. That just never made sense to me. He believed enough of the Bible to know that the Savior was going to be born, the Messiah was going to be born, and apparently it dawned on him that it was going to be born in his time. But apparently Herod had such an evil spirit in him that the spirit of murder wanted to kill that child. So he's inquiring of the scribes, where is he going to be born? And the scribes are reading from Micah. And so in Micah chapter 5 verse 2, but thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. His goings forth have been from old. You know what that means? That when the world was created, Christ's mission was already set in progress. Have been from old. And then it says, from everlasting. That means before, as Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. I like that. Amen. Before Abraham was, I am. And you can see the scribes and the Pharisees just going, oh, I'm going to kill that guy. Because they knew what God said to Moses, what his name was. I am that I am. And they're just going, did he just say what I think he said? He said, I am. They knew that. That's why they wanted him dead. Which, by the way, the NIV, oh, I hate this. You know what the NIV says? Where God's name is, I am that I am. NIV, it sounds like Popeye. I am what I am. That's what it says there. And the NIV here in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, you know what it says? Whose origins have been from old. Origins. You know what they're saying, Brady? Bradley? You know what they're saying? He had a beginning. And this, according to them, if he had a beginning, he can have an end too. Dun, dun, dun. Amen. So back in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. And I'm telling you that the words of Christ, here it is, Jesus, before Bethlehem, he is ready now to leave the glory of heaven where he shares his Father's glory. We see that in John chapter 17. He shares his Father's glory. And now he's ready to be the obedient son and leave heaven. And I can just say, if you're going to make a movie about this, you can see Jesus now walking just to the edge of heaven, you know, clouds and rays of sunlight coming up. And he's about ready to step out of heaven, but before he does, he says, "Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." I love that. I absolutely love that. Because you know what Jesus was regarding here? Number one, he was regarding the he was obedient to his Father. Number two, he says, "God, Father, if I'm going to do this, we're going to do it by the book." Amen? "In the volume of the book it is written to me, to do thy will, O God." But I'm not ready to teach that yet. All right? I want us to look at the first few verses here. And I've got some notes here in one of my old Bibles. This is why you never throw away an old Bible. You hang on to it, all right? Unless it's an NIV. Okay? And copy your notes out and get rid of it, all right? But anyway, Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to look at this. "For the law having a shadow of good things to come," we talked about that last Wednesday, "not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins." Conscience is that guilt knowledge that you have that you've done something wrong. And a one-time goat sacrifice, or a sacrifice of a, let's say, a turtle dove, or just if you all you had was just a little bit of flour and you brought that in with some olive oil, if that was your sacrifice because you were poor and that's all you had, you turn that in and that's offered before the Lord, that still does not purge your conscience. Because what that is a temporal, which means temporary, outside of the body, shadow of things to come. The only thing that can purge your conscience, who in here knows and is fully aware of the sins that they have committed so far in their life up till today? Raise your hand. You know what you did. You know what you did. And our conscience, and the Holy Ghost is working through our conscience to lay guilt upon our soul. And the only way, and that's inwardly, that's on the inside of us. Some people wear guilt better than others. Some people wear guilt and you would never know it. It's fun to watch little children. Amen? Because when they get caught, you know it. You can say, "You know what? Your mouth is telling me no, but your ears, your eyes, your nostrils, your hands, and your feet, and your backside wiggling is telling me that you did it." Amen? That's your conscience. And the only way to have your conscience cleared is by the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God. That clears your conscience. Now you're clean. Now you know it. You say, and the devil says, "Well, but you know, what about when you did this? What about when you said this? What about when you were over here? What about that?" And the Holy Ghost, you just get in the Bible, and the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you just say, "You know what? I believe that." In spite of what you're trying to tell my emotions, in spite of the game that you're trying to play with me, I believe this book and I believe that my sins are forgiven. Amen. I know about this. I'm sitting on my hands and knees underneath my house, volts of electricity running through my body. And the prayer I'm praying is, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And once I prayed, I'm just okay. Here we go. Let's see what death is like now. And that's what happened. Anyway, I'm still alive. Amen. For now. But here's what he's saying. He said, verse 3, "But in those sacrifices there's a remembrance again made of sins every year." Because not only was there a daily sacrifice, there was a yearly Day of Atonement, where the sins of all the nation of Israel. Now, I like this one. The sins of the whole nation of Israel were taken, and the priest, and if you just go study this thing out, the priest actually took his hands and laid them on the head of a goat. What he was doing, he was discharging the sins of the entire nation upon the head of that goat. Well, here is on Christ, the sins of the entire world laid on his head by what symbol? The crown of thorns. That was the sins of the entire world laid upon his head, fulfilling perfectly what the law was all about. And so here is Christ now offering himself one time. And once he's offered himself, it's over with. It's over with. But here, they have to keep doing it every year, every year, every year. I'm going to make up a graphic, and I'm going to put this on Facebook, and I'm going to put this on my blog, and I'm going to probably put it in the wall here somewhere where Lisa won't yell at me for it, because that looks tacky. I'm going to put it someplace where everybody can see it, but it won't trash up the place, all right? And so my wife does a good job keeping this place nice, all right? So anyway, so I'm going to put over here, I'm going to put a picture of the cross. And it's going to say, it is finished. And then over here, the Tower of Babel, and say, they're still working on it. Which one are you going to choose? The one that I choose is the cross, the finished work of Christ. Somebody say amen. So watch this. For it is not possible, verse 4, that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Impossible that the blood of a goat should take away the sin. I'll tell you this, it is impossible for the blood of an ordinary human to take away the sins. If that were the case, then every pagan religion in the world that offered a human sacrifice, they would be righteous and holy before God. And there were probably untold millions of people throughout world history that in the name of religion, under the name of appeasing the gods, under the name of trying to get it rain in the springtime or whatever it was, trying to get victory in battle, they slaughtered untold hundreds and thousands, probably even millions of innocent human beings in the name of their religion. That's sick. You go read the testimonies of the Spaniards and some of those that came over to the Americas. Who was Cortez that came into Mexico and healed? And some of those guys will tell you, you read what they wrote, you read what they found. They found on top of those pyramids, pagan priests slaughtering one human being after another. There would be just a line of them. Once they slaughtered one and shed blood all over the place, they'd bring in another and do the same thing. And those priests, those pagan priests, their skin, their hair was covered in human blood. Sickening. Here's Christ. One time, one sacrifice for all. I want to show you what God is saying here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And in verse 5, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. I did come prepared tonight to teach you about that body, but I'm going to back up just for a second tonight. And I want us to look at, first place we're going to go, this is like a direct quotation here. Turn to Psalm chapter 40. Everybody take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 40. Now here's something that I want you to remember. It's not your sacrifice that does anything. Now, you say, well, what about what the Bible says? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I believe in that. Okay? The sacrifice and the crucifixion of our flesh, of our flesh nature, should occur daily in every believer's life. Can I get you to say amen to that? Daily. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living sacrifice. That means as long as you're still alive, you're crucifying this nature that you have in you. Jesus told, he said, if you want to be my disciple, bye guys, see ya, we love ya. He said, you want to be my disciple? Take up your cross daily and follow me daily. And I'll say this, that a true born again, Bible believing, fundamentalist, right wing, whatever, King James Bible believing Christian will do that. And I'm going to tell you, how many of you ever had bad habits before? Jimmy, you ever had a bad habit before?
Oh, yeah. I got rid of it.
Amen. Okay. I remember he brought cigarettes up and laid them on the altar. What did you think? Ken was going to smoke them for a year or what? I guess we got to burn these things now and get rid of them. I remember the deal. Okay. And I remember several times. I remember Jerry Henderson bringing cigarettes to Brother Sherry. She brought her pack of cigarettes. She said, you know what? I'm done with these. I'm not going to do this anymore. Okay. But here's the thing. Okay. We've all had bad habits. Let me tell you a good habit to get into. Good habit to get into is first thing in the morning, you sit up on the edge of your bed. I am not a morning person. If you can get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and open the book of Malachi and read it, you've got something on me that I don't have. I cannot do that. I tried it. When my wife would get up early and go to work up in South County, I'd get up, and while the kids were still in bed, I'd try to read some of the Old Testament prophets, and I'm just going, God, this is stupid. I can't understand this. It's not stupid, by the way, but that's just how I had it figured. I am not a morning person, but the first thing that I can do when I wake up and sit myself up on my bed, I don't just get up out of bed either. It's a process for me. And I sit up on the edge of the bed, and while I'm breathing hard, I'm apt to say, God, I need a good day today. That's part of it. God, I need a good day today. I'd really like to serve you today. That's not Mr. Spiritual talking. That's not, oh, if you just did what I did. You know what that is? I found out that is a necessity of my life. An absolute necessity of my life is to sit up on the edge of my bed in the morning and say, God, I'm going to need some help today. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever it is, I'm going to need some help. You go throughout the course of your day. You find out that maybe some days are pretty good days. You have those days. Amen. Maybe some days aren't. You have those days too. Maybe midday you can just kind of catch yourself and say, God, this ain't working out too good. So, what are we doing back there, Matthew? Okay. Yeah. Some days you have good days and bad days, right? Catch yourself about midday and say, God, this ain't going too well. But if all else fails, lay your head down on your pillow at night and say, God, I should have done more. I should have prayed more. I should have been better. And God, I'm not proud of what I did today. I'm not proud of how I lived today. I'm not proud of the thoughts that I thought today. And see, that's the thing there, is we like to watch people sin. It's hard to catch them coveting. Because that all goes on here. So we sit in bed at night and say, God, kill this flesh. Take it. It's yours. You can have it. I'm not proud of what I did. I'm not proud of what I thought. I'm not proud of some things I said. I'm not proud of how I handled things. I'm not proud of how I treated people. God, I'm just not proud of anything. I want to tell you something. The best thing in the world you can do at night is go to bed humble. You'll sleep better. That's a daily sacrifice. That is your cross right there, daily. Presenting yourself to God every day. If it's in the morning, then it's in the morning. If it's at noon, it's at noon. But if it's at night, it's at night. But every day, sometime, turn that thing over to God and say, God, here it is. Okay? I was preaching Sunday on maintenance warfare. That's maintenance Christianity. That's just good stuff. That's just good to do. Amen? Amen. But anyway, he said, sacrifice and offering, thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Where was we going? In Psalm chapter 40, verse 6. Here he is. He says it right here. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. What is it that the Bible says is better than sacrifice? To obey. To obey is better than sacrifice. Okay? Well, ask yourself the question, who obeyed? Christ. And so Christ needed no sacrifice because he obeyed. So the Bible's right. To obey is better than sacrifice. But since you and I have not, he's saying here that the sacrifice, he says back in Hebrews, the sacrifice of bulls and goats, the blood of those things cannot take away the sins. They cannot wipe away the sins. You know why? They're temporal. They're earthly. They're of this world. The sins that you have committed, you know what? They're written on a book in heaven. They cannot be blotted out by temporal blood. Cannot happen. They must be blotted out by the sinless Son of God and God's own blood. Amen? God's own blood. I don't care if half of the Free Will Baptist denomination don't believe that, and I know a bunch of them who don't. Made me mad. Okay? But he says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness. This is all Jesus talking here. Just before he comes into the earth. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 50. Psalm chapter 50. Verse 8. Let's back up to verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And we make it sound like we really offered God something big, don't we? Why, look at this county fair lamb we're bringing in. Oh, look at what we're doing. And God said, whose lamb? Whose goat was that? Who made that? God said, it's mine. And you're just bringing me back my own stuff. Amen? And God said, so that's not what I'm interested in. You try to, and I'll say this, I would apply this to earthly deeds that you and I do. If there has ever been a time when you took money and you put it in an offering plate and you said, Lord, that was a big sacrifice for me. Now, you take care of me. Take it back. Take it back until you get your heart right with God. Because God says, where did you get that money from anyway? Who did it come from? How is it that you have a job? How is it that you've been fed, that you've been clothed, that you've had a house over your head? How did all these things happen? You want to boast and talk about what kind of sacrifice you made for me? I gave my son! None of us has ever done that. God still paid the ultimate price. So if we start boasting and bragging and saying, oh, what a sacrifice I'm giving for the Lord. Why? I just spend time doing this for God. I could be doing other things or I could be doing this. And God says, well, you're breathing my air. You're spending my time because it all belongs to me anyway. And I gave it to you. So any of these works that we do that we think is drawing up merits with God. God said, you know what God says? Keep them. I don't want, look at what he said here. He said, I don't want your cows. He said at verse 9, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. He said, I want your goats. You can keep your cows, you can keep your goats. They were mine before they were ever yours. I gave them to you, and long after you're dead, I'll own them back. So God says, you can keep it if you think that that's what is making me happy. I was teaching in a church one time, and I remember I was going through about, was talking about Enoch in the book of Hebrews. And the Bible says that, Enoch was translated. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And I asked the question, how is it that we please God? Hadn't grown up? I know how we please God. How is it we please God? We please God by doing what he said. I said, no, that's not what this says. Because if you go look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. You want to please God? Believe what he said. Don't call God a liar. See, this is what puts all of us in this room on the same category. Because we all believe that this book is right. I got some pastors that have called me from down in Arkansas, Jim and Linda, down the other side of the state, in the Free Will Baptist. They're having a battle in their district over which Bible they're going to use in the district. And he said, I thought we was all solid, King James. He said, I thought we were. Both two pastors called me independently saying, Pastor Mike, will you help us? And he said, it just rocked my boat. I thought we was all on the same page. He said, we've got pastors now in our district that are saying we want to start using the English Standard Version for our youth activities and for our Bible memorization. And I'm going, Bible memorization? Okay, memorize 1 John 5:7. Memorize Acts 8:37. Memorize these verses that don't exist in the English Standard Version. Okay? That'd be the easiest Bible memorization course in the world. Memorize verses that don't exist in the new Bibles. But he said, I'm finding out we're not all on the same page anymore. He said, I thought I fellowshipped with men that believed the Bible. And he said, we're finding out we don't. And this is why, I mean, I pick and choose who we fellowship down there as far as churches and pastors down there because I know they believe the Bible. But this is why that's just not for us because I cannot bear to hear someone say behind my pulpit, the Bible has a mistake in it. I won't have that. I'm sure all of us here have got some little opinion on this, that, or the other. But here's what I know about everybody in this room is that you please God not by what you do, by what you believe. That's the truth. I know we're all on the same page on that deal. And I'm happy with that. Amen?
Amen.
Where's my next verse here? Isaiah chapter 1. Boy, I remember I couldn't sleep one night deer season, Jim. I guess I was excited about not killing a deer the next day. Because I didn't see a thing. Do what? Yeah. I won't kill your deer, Linda. She's got one she's got her eye on. There's two of them out there. And I remember sitting up late at night and I just grabbed my Bible and I was reading this. And boy, I thought, I wish I had a congregation to preach to at the time. The sermon I preached to myself was really good. But I want you to look in verse 10. And God's dealing with the Israelites here. Look what he says in verse 10. Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. Now, he is not talking to Sodom and Gomorrah because Sodom and Gomorrah has already been wasted away by this time. He's talking to Israel, and look what he's calling them, Sodom and Gomorrah. And then he says, verse 11, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? What purpose is it? What purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices? What, and if I were to apply this in the realm of Roman Catholicism, what purpose is it to say a mass every 5 seconds or every 5 minutes or every 5 hours? What purpose is it? I say this to all the Muslims. What purpose is it for a Muslim to fall down with his face down on a carpet facing Mecca 5 times a day? What good does that do? You know, it doesn't do anything. And I want to take, Joe, can I tell him what you told me about what's going on at work? Okay. He works for the government. And he said, it's been for years. He said, we couldn't bring up Jesus Christ. We couldn't say the name. We couldn't proselytize at work. He said, but now we got a new deal going at work. He said, they're spending money at his place of work to build a prayer room for the Muslims. Who, what president did that come from? Hey, I want to let you guys in on something. Don't want to scare anybody, but I'm going to let you in on something. The IRS may start pushing on churches to keep their mouth shut about preaching on politics. If they push, I'm pushing back. I'm not keeping my mouth shut, and they can tax the daylights out of us. I don't know if we're going to pay it. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how it's going to turn out. But this pastor is not keeping his mouth shut. And it may come to a deal. We may lose this whole deal over that deal. Okay? I'd rather do it with you than without you. Okay? Huh?
The Lord owns the money.
He does. So, you know, anyway. But anyway, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? He said, I'm full of burnt offerings and rams. He said, I'm full of it. The fat of fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats. Doesn't the Jew right now see this in the Word of God? This is in their testament. Do they not see in the Word of God that they have, that God has already said, I'm not accepting another goat for a sacrifice. I'll not take another one. And hey, I want to tell you how serious God was. They had a tabernacle in the wilderness. It's gone. They put it in Shiloh. God destroyed Shiloh. They built one in Jerusalem. Had Solomon built a temple in Jerusalem? It's gone. They built another one. It was around in the time of Christ. And when he finished his sacrifice, what happened about 30 some odd years later? It's gone. God allowed it to be taken away. He's sending word to Israel, I will not accept the blood of another goat ever for your sins. I'm tired of it. He said, I'm tired of your fat. He said, I'm tired of your burnt offerings. He said, I'm sick of it. Because here, I want to watch this now. Here's what Israel would always do. They would quit believing God, and yet they would keep doing the sacrifices. So that's the equivalent of someone going into any church, having a little legalistic ritual performed on them, and saying, well, you're blessed now because you did the ritual. You said the magic words. You had the magic healing spell performed on you. You had holy water, or you did this. Or, hey, watch this now. This is where we get into. Or you don't listen to any rock and roll music, and you got your hair cut short, and ladies, you wearing dresses that are long enough, and all of these issues that we place in front of God saying, Lord, this is what I'm doing. And God says, I don't care. That's not making you saved. That's not washing your sins away. Yeah, God loves morality. Yeah, God loves decency. God loves those things. But the truth of it is, especially as fundamentalists, we like to put what we're doing and where we stand and our stand on issues above everything else and think that that's pleasing God, and I'm telling you it's not. You believe this Bible.
That's right.
You believe what the words of this book say without altering, changing, twisting it in your mind, trying to make it say something that it doesn't. And so he said, I've had it. Verse 12, when you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You know what he's saying? Even the Passover and the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, I'm sick of them. They were meeting. They were having the Passover and the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles when Jesus was around. They were performing all the religious functions, but they were denying the Savior. What good does it do? What good does it do? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 20. Turn there. Jeremiah, this is out of the Old Testament, people. God said it many times. I'm done. I've had it. I'm not going to take any. You can burn incense all you want to. Most pagan religions, for some reason, they burn incense and think that, oh, the God smells that. They burn things in front of Buddha, that golden statue, and that, oh, Buddha receives that. Buddha likes that. Buddha's dumb. And so people think that all what they're doing, all that's making God happy, that's pleasing God. There was only one thing that was going to, hey, can I tell you from the Bible, the one thing that pleased God, that brought the pleasure to God, and that was bruising Christ. Isaiah 53, it pleased God to bruise him. That's what brought the satisfaction to God for the sins and iniquities of Israel and the Gentiles, was bruising his only begotten son, Jesus. It pleased God to bruise him. Anyway, where did I say? Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 20. The Bible says this, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba? And the sweet came from a far country. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people. And the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. You know who those stumbling blocks were? Number one, they were Christ. Number two, I believe they were the Gentiles. Because all through the book of Acts, you know what you see? You see the Gentiles now receiving the blessing and the benefit and the grace of Almighty God without the works of the law. They received it simply by believing and trusting Jesus Christ. That's how they received it. And then the last one here, turn to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. I almost said Joel Osteen. I've been asked many times, Pastor, how come your church doesn't keep the Passover? And I say, well, I can't speak for everybody in my church, but when I get up and read the Bible, Christ is the Passover. And we keep the feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Thy word is truth. Look at verse 21 of Amos chapter 5. I hate, I despise your what? Feast days. Who said that? God said it. He said, I despise them. And I want to tell you something. Religion, both in Judaism and in Christianity, is full of people keeping outward expressions of their religion while inwardly being so defiled that they're almost beyond redemption. And I cannot talk for anybody else. I can talk for fundamentalism. I've been fundamental in my doctrine and my ideas for a long time. I grew up having good morals, standards. You can't go here, you can't do this, can't listen to that, can't wear that, can't do this, can't do that. And I have wanted to in my life, I've been drawn in by the independent fundamental, the King James only, whatever. I've drawn in by that because, boy, they got the high standards, and boy, they do this and do that. And I want to tell you something, I'm many, many, many years down the road, not only with my own life, but seeing what's been going on in some of those churches. One in particular, I will not mention, that I know for sure that while a group of people from a certain church that I know of, I mean fundamental, look like they had all the right ideas on the outside, they were drunkards, adulterers, fornicators, sodomites. That's what I know about them. Okay? And no, I'm not talking about y'all. Okay? But that's what I know about them. And what I'm saying, and I like my hair cut short, and I think women all look like women, men all look like men. Amen? Act like men. Amen? Amen. And I think we ought to not listen to this and watch that. And I believe all those things. But if all you have is the outward expression, you know what God's saying to you? You make me sick. You make me sick. I despise what you're doing. Because you want to appeal to the flesh and have everybody look at you as some big spiritual giant. And all you are is a worthless piece of trash sinner on the inside. That's all you are. You need to have your heart cleaned up. You need to get saved. Amen? And this is just kind of the direction God had me go tonight. We're going to talk about the body next week. But I want you to just kind of, when we pray tonight, I believe we all believe the Bible, and I know we all want right living. We want this clean, we want that clean in our lives, and I believe in that. But if you ain't got nothing beside that, you ain't got nothing. Muslims have a sense of morality. It's warped. But you know there are no porno shops in Saudi Arabia? Do you know that you cannot chew gum in certain cities like in Asia? Because you'll spit it out and you'll trash the city up, and they'll whip you for that. They're in a civilization of the world that doesn't have a sense of morality. That does not make them. The Amish people have morals way beyond us. Most of them are lost. Most of them are lost. And if all you can do is just sit and worry about what's on the outside of you, you don't have a whole lot. Let God clean up on the inside. It's the bowl. You're washing the outside of the bowl is what you're doing. And the inside is still filthy. Let God clean it up. Amen? He's tired of you doing this and you doing that. Oh, I'm doing it for God. Why don't you just believe the Bible and start believing what He said? Amen? So let's go to the Lord tonight in prayer. And you just talk to God, all right? I'm not your judge. You're not my judge. Examine yourself. See where you be in the faith tonight. Will you do that? Heavenly Father, I love you. And I thank you, God, for changing the message tonight. Lord, I needed to hear it. I needed to preach it. I needed to hear it. And God, you know me. God, you know how I think. And I look at these people with, I mean, they got the nice short hair and they just look like the Christian fundamentalists. And God, that's just something that's appealed to me all my life. And I fooled myself. And I fooled a lot of people around me thinking that that's what it was all about. And it wasn't. Inwardly, God, there were some things that weren't right between me and you. And you were very kind and very patient with me. You humbled me. You humiliated me. You brought me low, God. And I love you for that. You stood up to me, God. And you looked me in the eye and you said, I'm sick of it, Mike. So thank you, God, for being man enough to do that to me. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you do continue, Lord, that with me. But Lord, do it with these people here tonight. They examine themselves. I can't do it for them. Only they can do that. You can do that, God. You can take the light of your spirit and shine it in their evil heart. Show them, Lord, what's wrong. So Lord, help us with that. We want to look nice on the outside. God, that's just right. But no man can see on the inside but you. And Lord, we would like for you to dwell in a clean house. Lord, would you have your way in our hearts tonight? We love you. We thank you, God, for your mercy on us. Your long suffering with us. Your forbearance of us. Lord, continue to have that as you continue to deal with us and work with us, God. That's what we're asking you tonight. Thank you, God, for hearing us and for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for this message. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And all of God's people said, amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.